Other people probably just ping in as we go along. So announcements about progress and events at JSS this past week. There was a visit from the chief secretary of Chhattisgarh, which is the highest level civil servant in this state. It's not a political position, but it's a civil servant sort of senior position, who came to see the programs in JSS and spent almost half a day there, helicoptering in and out. It was very exciting. He came along with four district collectors, who are the sort of most senior civil servant district level officials. The one that of the district that Chhattisgarh is in, as well as three others, and a whole host of lower level officials as well. So it was just sort of a nice way that they were all very impressed, and it was nice to sort of get a bit of a that went quite well. That was just been for a long time actually. It was a big deal actually, and it went off really well. So another thing is that we're hopefully going to have a brochure printed up this week, and once we do, we can send it out to everyone. Printed up by Ruta. Sorry, put together by Ruta, and we'll hopefully print it up in Bilaspur, in Delhi, in Bombay, and be able to send it out and hopefully have it sent out outside India as well. But just sort of summarizing our progress on the project so far, a little bit about JSS, a little bit about the goals and aims, and just a nice, couple-page document that sort of illustrates well what we're doing here.
EMR... for the coding? Is it for recruitment, or what is the purpose?
The purpose is just to sort of explain. Yeah, it's partly for recruitment and partly just to sort of explain where we're at, how far we've come in such a short period of time with so few resources. Hopefully that will, sort of generate support for the project. So we also have, speaking of support for the project, we have recruitment posters printed up that were designed by a volunteer on sparked.com, which is a really fantastic website. Those posters are going up in those posters are for recruiting additional doctors to come to JSS, specialists who can come and help out for a couple months at a time. So those posters are going up this week in Bombay, in hospitals in Bombay and Delhi and a couple other cities. And other announcement I wanted to make was just that we have almost 100 people following us on Twitter, which is really exciting, and it's a good start. It's nowhere near what some celebrities have, but it's something, it's a good start, and hopefully have many times more of that in a few weeks or months. So I just want to encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter and to retweet and support us out there in the Twitter sphere. And I sent out a link to the pictures I had uploaded to Twitter so people can see some nice photos of JSS and the people who work there. So a couple of announcements about module development, module coordination from this past week. We have Susan on the call, which is fantastic. It's Susan's first weekly conference call, and Susan, do you want to just say a couple words about yourself and the UI UX meeting we had this past week? I know it wasn't too eventful, but maybe just a couple words about that.
Sure. It was mainly our main discussion. Well, first of all, I've just been involved with this project for a few weeks now, so I still feel like I have to learn about it. I guess I opened my big mouth and had a fair number of opinions based on having been in this business for a very long time. So I've come to be involved. I think what you guys have been doing so far has been absolutely fantastic, and it's the work that my company is really interested in pursuing. So I'm physically not in Australia at the moment, but my plan is to spend a lot more going back and forth between here and the Bay, San Francisco Bay Area, which is where real is for me. Regard to what was on this week, it's it was really talking about the need to start to make sure developing a sort of a common fraction vocabulary, like for how we design common elements and sort of general interact style across the overall suite of tools, so that they all end up being together. So there's two points. There's the commonality in the modules, so that anyone from using any module knows how to use all elements consistently. But it's also coming up with some comments across modules in terms of even simple things like making sure that the patient's name is visible in this place on every, when you're going with a particular patient, et cetera. So there's just kind of things like that. The only way that be able to get a handle on what those elements really need to be to start looking at the screens, sort of comparing and contrasting the screens that are evolving. So what I'm hoping, when I have been preoccupied personal thing the past week or so, but wanting to do it after finally move out of the house and do a few of this at work, is take all of the modules that have been designed so far and just start look at those elements and start to come up with a short list of things that I know need to develop, but come with a longer list. Sort of just being entity check for the modules that are being developed, so I will start seeing and across the board. And the other part is about making sure that things actually do together, so that it's for when you're at one point.
Shoot, I think we lost her. Are others still on the call?
Yep.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah.
I think she was on a pretty bad connection out in rural Australia. It was great she could make it. She might call back in. She said she was going to try if she got kicked off just once again. I'll just say that we did have additional designs uploaded to the Dropbox folder this past week, always worth checking out, from Avinash and from Darian. Avinash, based in Delhi, is a designer who's done a lot of our high-fidelity mock-ups and has worked specifically a lot on the registration module. So if you go into the registration folder, under UI UX documents on Dropbox, you'll see his newest designs. And same with Darian, of course not under registration, but Darian works on OPD. He's been working on the OPD module for the past few months and has some great new ideas for the doctor's view on the tablet about how to proceed with that. So really great progress from both Darian and Avinash, and hopefully we'll have a bit more. We're hoping to make some more progress with the screener triage module designs this coming week, and further progress yet with Darian, and then hopefully as well with Lab. Hope to see some good new wireframes come out for the Lab module. That's mostly Nancy and Carolyn. So that's sort of on the near-term time horizon for the UI UX designs for this coming week. The other thing that was just discussed at the UI UX meeting was so Susan was sort of talking about these common widgets, common functionalities across modules, and the other thing that was discussed was frameworks. So hopefully, if Shiro comes back online, he can discuss some of that, or if not, either Nathan or Saptarshi can talk about JavaScript frameworks. Oh, Shiro, hi, how are you? I didn't know that. Okay. I don't think if Susan comes back, let's have her finish up talking about the UI UX designs for this the meeting from this past week. We will have another UI UX meeting in 2 weeks, so not this coming, probably not this coming Friday, but the following Friday. It'll either be Friday or Saturday. Of course, we welcome others to join in as well, to listen and or participate. It's not restricted only to UI UX people, but it's primarily to discuss UI UX issues across modules. We didn't have a Lab meeting this past week. We had a really lengthy and really good one the previous week, and we'll probably have one this coming week, but we did actually make some terrific, really, really terrific progress with all of our developers for the lab module. So that was really great. Roger, who's really helping to lead that effort, is in Ghana again, and not on the call. He usually is on this weekly call, but couldn't make it this week. Is there anybody from the lab module who's on the call right now? I didn't catch everyone. No. Okay. All right. Well, we'll check back in with the lab people this coming week, and then be able to hopefully give an update by the following weekly conference call. I don't think Greg also emailed me, said he couldn't make it to this week's conference call, but we had a really great community health worker meeting this past Tuesday, the CHW module. Actually, it's their regular weekly meeting. Shiro and I were able to make it to that call, and then the following day, Naval Saini made a conference call, Skype call into the community health workers at JSS itself, and we made some really great progress having some communication between the module, between Naval and the CHW, one of the senior CHWs at JSS. Is Judy on the call now? No, okay. All right. Anybody else from that team, the CHW team? Okay, I guess not. And I don't think, did Bhushan make it to the call this week? Bhushan, are you there? No, I guess not. Okay, well, we did get some jumpstart on activity from the screener triage module side, so hopefully there'll be more to report on that this time next week, but Bhushan's back in action now. He's the module coordinator for the screener triage module, and I know that he's been communicating with a couple of the developers for that module, and hopefully we'll have designs, some new wireframe designs for that module this time next week. And I know we have a couple designers working on that. OPD module team hasn't met on our weekly conference call yet, but we're planning to do so next Saturday afternoon India time, and hopefully we'll be able to include Darian on that. Darian, of course, is the UI UX designer for that module. He's based in Spain and has made some terrific designs so far that he's deposited into Dropbox. I encourage everyone to take a look at that, at those designs. So hopefully there'll be more to report on OPD development side this time next week. So with that, I'll turn it over to Shiro, Saptarshi, or Nathan, who can talk about JavaScript frameworks, which was a decision that was made this past week, and we want to share, very excited to share with the rest of the team.
Yeah, hi. Can everyone hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great. So we have, is it me, Saptarshi, Nathan, Daniel, and who else is on the call?
Oh, I'm Gaurav from Delhi.
Hi, Gaurav.
Hi.
I think
okay.
Susan was on previously, but is now gone.
Okay. So, the rest of us have been sort of intimately involved with this decision. So, Gaurav, this is, essentially for your benefit, but, we'll make a sort of an official announcement now. We've been thinking very hard and doing some testing and evaluating for various JavaScript frameworks. As you know, we do need to, stand on the shoulders of some giants. Hi, who just joined the call? Hello?
Yeah, I think it's Susan.
Oh, Susan, hi, are you
great
there?
Boy.
That's Susan calling again. I got knocked out and seen. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
It's me. It's Susan. And Kathleen is joined. She was contacting me, which knocked me. Hello.
Okay. Susan, I think your connectivity is quite low because you're getting the kind of the Skype stutter. But we were just talking about, a lot of the deliberation and testing and evaluation that we had done in choosing JavaScript frameworks. Of course, the reason why we need to have a framework, and we absolutely do, is to be able to increase application development rapidity and also reduce the amount of entropy, the amount of sort of disorder that one would have if one was sort of hacking up everything, every single micro element on its own. It really does increase ease also, and reduces the steepness of the learning curve once one gets your head around working in a JavaScript framework, which helps a lot of people who are not professional developers but want to contribute, you know, get on and add value to the project, and sort of everyone feels good about that as well. So to that end, we've decided to settle on, and this was by no means an easy decision, as people on this call will now testify to, but we've decided to settle on a framework called Censure Touch and EXTJS. Now, both Censure Touch and EXTJS are interesting frameworks in the sense that they are not, they're sort of a soup to nuts framework. They do things like model view controller paradigms, which is sort of one way of writing code, as well as they have UI elements, and they take care of all the kinds of things that take you from data to presentation. That's one of the ways it really makes things easy. And in fact, actually, Nathan brought something up this morning, which is that you can compile applications that you have made for the web in Censure Touch and EXTJS to run natively on iOS and Android devices. So it's a very, very powerful set of tools. And while it does mean that we can't use some other kinds of tools like Backbone.js and underscore and some other frameworks, we think that it'll, on balance, add a lot of value to the whole project. There's a whole language of UI design elements that come, you know, pre-baked into these frameworks. That is Censure Touch and EXTJS. And I think that you'll find that these are not only complete, but they also make the UX rather good. So perhaps Nathan or Saptarshi, Saptarshi, would you like to speak to that?
Yeah, so in our GitHub repository, I've forked into my username and I've created some example code structure, and I'll write a larger email on how the code structure is organized and how to start writing your own modules code. And yeah, but we have some initial work done on how to organize and some good documentation on Censure Touch's website, and I think it will be useful in, for getting people's comments on how this works. One of the main reasons, I think, for choosing Censure Touch and the XJS is the rapid application development that these frameworks allow. And yeah, it's pretty exciting to see how that pans out. It's also for testing, we will be using something known as Jasmine, which is based on which is a very popular framework, but uses the behavior-driven development paradigm, where we have we already have a lot of user stories, and these stories will be written as specs, and these specs will be tested instead of normal unit testing where we test the inputs and outputs of methods. BDD gives you the advantage that or not the advantage, but BDD is a paradigm where you'll be using the specs and checking if what you're coding is similar to what we envisioned in the use cases. So I think it's more appropriate way of testing than for our project, at least with the use cases ready. So the other thing that I would like to highlight, which is not on this topic, but is that this Thursday we'll have a conference call presenting our work with OpenMRS, and I'd love people to attend that. Nathan, any
great
views?
Nathan?
I'm not sure I have anything substantial to add to that right now.
So we'll make we'll send an email to the whole contributors list this evening. We just need to get a couple of sort of you know, other contributors and have personal interactions with them before we before that happens. But we're very excited about this new direction and think that this will really make everyone's lives a lot easier and better.
Great. There's just a couple other items on the agenda. I know that time is short for this week's call, but one issue was a conference call that took place this past week. Was a conference call with professors from Carnegie Mellon University about future collaborations, and actually then separately a conference call with a different professor from CMU, Jim Mankoff, who works on human-computer interactions and is going to be helping us with a patient-facing module. But the first conference call, sure, do you want to talk a little bit about that and that those collaborations that are coming up?
Sure. Let me talk about the Jen Mankoff one first. We're very excited about this. Jen Mankoff is a human, an HCI person, a human-computer interaction sort of expert. And she and another professor at CMU, Matt Camp, are going to be sort of leading our effort to try and understand what illiterate people, people who constitute the largest patient population of JSS, how they would interact with our system and how they would like to, what they could do. Because, while we all have ideas about how that might happen, we really need some expertise, such as the people, such as the expertise that Jen and Matt have, would be very helpful. So to that end, we are going to hire someone, someone has a background in perhaps design and social studies. When I say social studies, very sort of an anthropologist but someone who has a lot of connections with the computer world. We're going to hire someone to go and, study this issue. Go to villages, talk to villagers. So I suppose, having native language skills would be essential to go and study this issue. So if any of you know of such a person who'd be interested in this, please, please refer them to us and we'd love to talk to them. So that's the sort of the anthropologist in Chhattisgarh sort of announcement. The other is we have a lot of collaborations with Carnegie Mellon, and one of them is now that a couple of students are going to start evaluating our architecture of our project, and also in particular our security and privacy architectures to ensure scalability and performance and appropriate privacy and security of what is, in the end, very, very important health information. So those people will start now, and starting in the middle of the year, we will probably have two teams. One team of people who will we need to actually carve off a sub project of our larger project, who will sort of hack that up during the summer. And the second team of people who will start on a 16-month project starting in August. And that's exciting because these are very, very professional people. This is sort of the the work experience kind of part of one of CMU's most prestigious programs. And so we will give them a project, most probably having to do with the patient-facing module starting, and that discussion will start in March.
Terrific. Any questions or comments from anybody else on the call? All right. Go ahead. Yep.
I'm actually not really familiar with the patient-facing module that Cheryl just brought up. Could you just briefly say what that looks like?
Yeah, Nathan, this is something that we've talked briefly about before, but I haven't had really any details through, primarily because there aren't any details yet. sort of in the U.S., there's this idea of a PHR, a patient health record, what patients see of their own health information and how they can deal with this. Now, we cannot only have a patient health record because, of course, most of our patients you know, don't have computers, and actually the majority of them don't are illiterate, so they can't, you know, interact through text or through script. As a result, we do need to make an interface for our patients, and one of that is through voice, as you know, Piksha and Rita and the IIT team are creating. But we just need to make an interface for patients and have that vary depending on their own connectivity, their own sort of literacy, and their own interest in sort of doing things to their providing people access, looking at their data, manipulating their data. So that, in sum, is sort of the 30,000-foot view of what the patient-facing module is. Of course, fleshing that out is a very important, you know, is what we need to do. So I think you've expressed an interest in that before, but that's something we should start thinking about now.
Okay, thanks for the quick overview there.
I'll also just add briefly that we hopefully have a new, if not a new contributor, at least a conversation in the works in the near future with one of the leaders in the U.S. on what the U.S. has as a patient-facing module, their sort of version at Boston's Children's Hospital, which is a Harvard affiliate, with somebody who works on a platform called Indivo, which is a way for parents and children at the hospital to interact with their patient record. This is sort of one of the more sophisticated, advanced pieces of sort of interactive technology for patients in the health setting in the West. Of course, ours is going to look very different from that when it rolls out, but it's good to at least have a conversation with one of those leaders as we go forward in our own way. Hopefully that will happen this week, and I'll send an announcement out about that beforehand so we can include some other people on the call. Any other questions or comments from this past or for this week before we wrap up? All right, if not, thanks for calling in. It was a great call, and we'll send out a summary and link to the recording. I think Saptarshi's got it.